Science has proven that physical and chemical factors in our bodies and our mind can contribute to depression. As a result, many drugs have been developed to help these deficiencies. Doctors and therapists and counselors are trained to help people cope with depression. In many cases, long-term treatment is required. Scripture is not silent about depression, discouragement, or despair. Some of God's greatest heroes battled depression. The Bible records that Moses, Elijah, and Jonah suffered through times of discouragement so deeply that they desired to end their own lives. The author of Psalm 42 and 43 were battling depression when he penned these psalms. Exiled away from home and oppressed by cruel enemies, cried out to God for help. He confronted his downcast soul, and then he established the theme for this song. In preparing this, I when I first started working with it and God was dealing with me, I didn't have any points. Just had the message. Don't want you to be disturbed by that, but I think it's biblical. The first part of the discussion is going to be on verses 1 through 5. The psalmist used a vivid image to express his intense need for God's touch. He said in verse 1, he's like a parched hart or deer searching desperately for water in the wilderness. His soul craved to be energized and strengthened with hope and joy that was found only in the Lord. Emotional and spiritual, dehydrated, he cried out to God from the bottom of his heart. He was desperately longing for the Lord to reinvigorate his spirit. But he was far from Jerusalem and the temple where God's presence dwelled. Because of this, he was unable to connect with God. You see, under the old covenant, God's presence dwelled only in one specific place, the Holy of Holies. In the tabernacle, the psalmist felt alienated from God because he was a long ways away from the sacred place. Therefore, he asked God how much longer it would be before he would be able to return to Jerusalem and stand before him. And I don't want you to look too hard at him, but take a look at yourself and roll your VCR or your DVD back in your own life. See, when there have not been times in your life when you, if you did not utter it, you thought it within your mind. God, where are you when I need you the most? When everybody seemed to have turned their back on me, nobody seemed to love me. God, where are you? I'm down here toiling in Okaloosa County by myself. Don't have a friend in the world. God, where are you? But under the new covenant, help me, Holy Ghost, God does not abide in one specifically physical place. But I want to pause right here and tell you that he does provide in one specific place. That's just within every believer that believes in him. God resides right there. In every believer. He's not just in the holies of holies in Jerusalem. You are the place where he will reside. His Holy Spirit will come and tabernacle with you. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, will live within every true believer. Although God's presence is always within us, we may at times feel disconnected from God, just as the psalmist did. Any number of factors can cause us to feel far from God. One of the major ones to make you feel like you're by yourself is that there's sin in your life, and you are a child of God. You are a child of God, and you fail to come to corporate worship. You fail to have faith in God. And then again, we get too busy to serve God. Then we have a fear within us that we fear God, and we fear everything about Him, and we don't trust Him. Then there's the fact that we can get so lonely, we feel like nobody loves us, including God, because of the circumstances around us. When we get deeply discouraged, we have a tendency to turn away from what will help us the best, what can do the most for us. This psalmist was under the oppression of his enemy. And one way hostile but unbelievers will torment believers, and not just the psalmist, you too, me three. He'll torment us by ridiculing our faith in God. As we continually cry out to God, my circumstances remain unchanged. And the sinner is sitting or standing or laying over there watching. Seem as though God did not even exist. I know most of you've been saved all your life and you can't relate to this, but there may be just one or two of us in here today that can relate to there was a time in my life when I felt like God had deserted me. Right. He had left me all by myself, because if I'm His child, this never would have happened to me. Right. But because of these circumstances that we're in, God will provide. And nothing is a surprise to God. 9-1-1 15 years ago was no surprise to God. I upset some people when I said that back in 15 years ago. God was not surprised. And He's not surprised today, because He's God. But we do not need to allow our circumstances to determine our trust in God. We need to know that God is alive. What the enemy will do to us when troubles seem to just stay at our front door and on our plate, they'll just pose one question to you. Where is your God? If He loves you so much, why did your husband walk off and leave you? You in church every Sunday doing what you ought to. Why did God allow sickness to come to your body? And here Joe Blow is over here that does not even think about God and as healthy as can be. Where is your God? And this is when depression seemed to come. This is a question that they will ask us all the time. And it does not have to be people that you do not know and do not know. They know where you stand and what you believe, but they will still ask you, where is your God? Because of the circumstances that you're in. When you're facing trouble, unbelievers will mock your faith in a God. Just like they do us today. They were doing the psalmist like this. We must remember that the presence of a problem in our life, help me, Holy Ghost, does not indicate the absence of God. Because trouble is in my life, it does not mean that God is not in my life. And you have to excuse me right here. I don't have this in my notes. Dr. Michaels at West Florida Baptist Institute would say this is free. I remember the Son of God. Yes. They carried Him out to Calvary. Yes, had harmed no man. Yes. Had healed the sick. Yes, had raised the dead. Yes, opened blinded eyes. Yes, made crippled people walk. Brought demons out of people, but yet they crucified Him. Yes, sir. Yes. and accused him of being something that he was not. Called him everything but a child of God. But they never called him the son of God. He never moved away from being the son of God.
Amen.
Oh, we got to stay there. No matter what happened or what come or what go, you'll always face trials and tribulations. But this does not mean that God have forsaken us or that he does not exist. We serve a God who promised to be with us at all times, especially in the midst of trouble. He will strengthen us to endure whatever trials confront us. He will carry us safely through them. The psalmist's spiritually suffering was compounded because he could not do nothing to change his distasting situation. See, sometimes when I can't change something, I want to blame everybody, God and everybody else. Instead of just gritting my teeth and said, come what may, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the grounds are sinking sand. I'm going to stand on the word of God. He could not return to Jerusalem to worship with God's people. Memories of better days, past celebrations in God's house, only intensified his craving for the Lord's presence. There had been times when you may have been the most excited person in service. And again, as you march to the temple, as you come to the place of worship, as you drive to the place of worship, you just can't seem to wait to get there. You just keep coming, and somebody stay at a stop sign a little too long, and you're trying to get to the house of God. Why don't they hurry up? Why don't they get out of the way? Can't they see it's 5 minutes till 11, and I'm trying to be there at 11? Seems like everybody else start the town the same time that I start. Somebody's getting in my way. That's what you feel like sometimes when you're trying to get to the house of worship and something or somebody gets in your way. But I tell you, don't worry. Just stay with God. Those things will make you want to be with him just a little bit more. Want to be there with the believer. I don't want church to start until I get there. So sometime when something seems to get in your way, you need to start church by yourself. Long as I got Jesus, I got enough. I can have my church by myself. Just me and God. I love to have corporate worship, but every now and then I have to serve him or worship him when it's just nobody but me and him. See, you got to find, you got to know Jesus well enough to know that he does not just come when you're in the middle of a crowd. He'll come when you seem to be all alone and by yourself. When you're deeply discouraged and depressed, and sometimes you can't tell everybody everything because everybody don't have your best interest at heart. See, sometimes you have to have a private conversation with God, just me and God. I got to tell him what's down on the inside of me, because if you know what's on the inside of me, you might hold it against me. But I can tell God, and I won't hear it again. You can tell God, because he already knows anyway. But you got to tell him, so you'll know that he knows. See, he says, when I was cast down, seemed like trouble just overflows me. It just comes, and it just comes. It's like water going over a hill. It just seemed to just run over me. It seemed to overflow me. I told you a few minutes ago, I mentioned Brother Jonah. Can you imagine the trouble that he was in when they threw him overboard and the water compassed all over him? Then when he got down,
down. This ain't in my notes, y'all, but it's in my mind. When he got down in the belly of a whale, he thought it looked like he was in jail. And he said, out of hell, I called up to God and he heard my prayer. See, sometimes God get us in situations where nobody else can get me away from where I am. And then I do like old man Hezekiah. I turn my face to the wall and I talk to God. I tell him what's in my heart. See, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that God is on your side. No, you on God's side, because he'll hear you when everything seems to be going wrong. When you get down in the dumps, you don't have to stay there. The mistake that we make, we wallow. Don't wallow. Put your hands down. Push up. Get on your knees. And then when you get on your knees, stay there a little while. And then say, call and say, God, do you see me down here? Come see about me. He knew where you were all the time, but he just wanted you to realize that you needed to call him no matter where you are and what the situation is. You can't hide from God.
Oh, no, you can't.
Well, said he was disquieted and cast down. Disquieted means that there's an uproar. There's turmoil in his life. Simply put, you're trapped. You don't know where to go. You don't know which way to go. You're trapped in depression. Feelings of despair and hopelessness rage within me. It will keep you spiritually and emotional there. Oh, but then don't look at the latter part of verse 5. Notice how this psalmist sought to take control of his emotions rather than allowing, help me, Holy Ghost, his emotions to control him. In an attempt to lift himself out of the depths of depression, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He exhorted his soul in God. In his darkest hour, he spoke to himself in faith rather than doubt. The word hope in Scripture means something much stronger than what is often mean to us today. But hope in the Scripture is a firm assurance that God will do what he has promised he will do. According to his perfect timing, hope is the reality of what is yet to come. It's rejoicing in the promise of God that you have not yet fully received. Whatever you're hoping for, hope in God and believe and expect it to happen, because expectation, yeah, my favorite verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing ye desire when you pray, pray believing and expecting God, and you will, you shall have it. See, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that God will fulfill his promises that's made to his children. And we need to remember one other thing right there. God's not working on your time schedule.
That's right.
Wait on him. Wait. Know that he's coming, and he will provide just what you need. Then now let's look at verse 11, 6 through 11. One of the great lessons that this psalm teaches us is that we as believers have the liberty. Now, liberty is a freedom of our own to explain our own soul to God, to lift it up to God. We can express our deepest and innermost feelings and thoughts to God. After the psalmist encouraged himself with the word of hope, he took his burden to the Lord in prayer. When it seemed that God had forgotten him,
He remembered God and looked up to him from the depths of his despair. God's unfailing love sustained him in his darkest hour. The psalmist's despair was likely due in part to the fact that he was a long ways from home. The three geographical landmarks mentioned identified his location as being close to the Jordan River, being close to Mount Hermon and to Mount Mizar. The psalmist, by estimation, by some of, think that he was approximately 150 miles from Jerusalem. So with us today, that's a short distance today by today's standards. But in biblical time, it was a journey of 5 to 7 days. When we are separated from the people and the places that we love, we are prone to feel separated from God. The psalmist felt overwhelmed by the problems crushing all around him. And he watched the water and a waterfall flow over the waterfall. And the water just kept going and going and seemed like it never ran out. He felt that the water spout and the waterfall were pouring down on him. At times, God's judgment is portrayed as a storm. Sometimes it just seemed to never stop. Your trouble just seemed to keep coming my way. Before I can get used to being out of a situation, the water overflows me and I'm in something else again. They said we are either at one or three places and situations in our life. We are just fixing to go in one, we are in one, or we just got out of one. Those are the only three that can be. But when you're trusting in God, it will always be something in front of you. The devil will not leave you alone because he wants you to come to him. See, and when God is dealing with you and you're in depression, we bring ourselves there. But it's also possible that he had been unjustly persecuted. Sometimes you'll be persecuted because of your belief in Jesus Christ. And when you are persecuted because you are believing in Jesus Christ, stand your ground. I said a few minutes ago, on Christ the solid rock I stand. If you're persecuted because you're standing on God, stay right there because God will not leave you alone. Go back to Calvary. They thought they had him. They said the devil had a party because he thought he had him. But it said about midnight on the third day, the body began to shake and move, and they couldn't hold it because he said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll build it up again. See, God's word is true. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're God's child, just stay there and we'll stand the storm. Sometimes we have to struggle to survive in a raging sea of doubt and despair. The psalmist then grabbed hold to a wonderful truth. He was surrounded by God's love. This is the only time in this psalm that you see the word Lord in all caps. That means God's love and kindness, his saving grace, his mercy that he has extended towards us. See, when trouble keeps coming your way, don't let it faze you because God will provide just what you need. He won't leave you no matter what happens. You can seem like you're drowning. You can seem like you're drowning in your trouble and in your despair, but look to the hill from whence coming my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. No matter what happened, I'm going to stand on the word of God. See, sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes you don't know. You don't think you've done anything wrong, but God, why the trouble seemed to keep coming my way? My mind just went to old man Job. Didn't know what he had done, but God, the devil had come before God, and God recommended Job to him. See, sometimes we forget that it may come your way because God has recommended you to the devil,
and the devil trying you to see if you will go away from God. God said, have you tried my servant Job? He told him, said, you got a fence built around him. If you take the fence down, I'll make him curse you to your face. And God told him what he could do and what he couldn't do. Couldn't take his life, but he hurt old man Job, took all his children and everything that he had. Job said, for God I live and for God I die. He said, on this side, I can't remember exactly how it is. He said, my body, my skin worms may eat my body, but on the other side, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives. See, sometimes when God recommends you, trouble will come your way. But if you stand on God's word, you can't let the person down that you asked to write you a letter of reference to get that job. You got to think of somebody other than yourself. Think of the people that wrote the reference letter. They put their self on line. God put himself on the line when he recommended you to the devil. He said, he'll stand. She'll stand because she's my child. I brought them from a mighty long ways. Oh, Lord, but during difficult days, the Lord is still there because you feel like you're drowning in all your troubles. All you have to do, one line in a song, Lord, I surrender all of myself and everything I have to you. I feel depressed and down, but I know that my Redeemer lives. See, God will keep you afloat. Doesn't matter what happened to you. God created this body, and he knows how it, what all it can stand. But if we love him and trust in him, no matter how severe the problem may seem, it's no surprise to God. He knew about it from the beginning of time. We just got to stay there and trust in the Lord. Know that his love will survive. You can't be God-given, and he loves us enough to get, he gave us his son so that we could make it through. I thought about, and I wrote something like this in my notes, when your troubles seem to overflow you and you think you're drowning, remember mamas and daddies, when that child baby was crying and didn't seem to want to stop crying, you picked him up in your arm and you just start humming. And all of a sudden the child stopped crying. See, when God take you and hold you in his arm, he's saying, oh, how I love you. He sings to us about how he loves us. He will not allow stuff to take us away from his arm. Why? Because I'm his child. When everything seemed to overcome me, I go to the rock of my salvation. Jesus is the rock, and I go to him. You got to know that no matter what happens, God is on my side, and I'm on God's side. Well, I'm through, but let me give you my conclusion. The psalmist, just like we do, need to refuse to give in to depression. We need to choose instead to battle it by remembering God. And we remember him by focusing on the truth of God's word rather than the lies of the tormentor of my soul. Don't allow the lies that the devil whispered to you. No matter how saved you are, the devil whispers stuff to those that are saved. You do not need to become overwhelmed by your trouble. The psalmist felt that God had forgotten him, but this was not true. The truth was, help me, Holy Ghost, I had something. Stuff just hit me, y'all. You know, some of you, I'm going to put a picture in for Sunday school right here. Some of you wasn't in Sunday school this morning. Get here. Get here. Get here for Sunday school. Get here. 9 to 9:30 to 11. Get here. There was one little word in every verse. No, no, don't open it. Don't open it. Don't open it. There was one little word in every verse, and it was in. I-N. And I asked Brother Fester, I said, when I got up here this morning with the mic, I asked him when I got in the office, I said, did you see my hand shaking? I got so scared. My stomach was boiling. I said, did you see it? He said, no, I didn't see it. I said, what? But the problem was the word in. Listen to me. It's telling me to tell you that we need to get in God. In him. In him. If you get in him, if we get in him, then we cannot be seen. Every verse, the word in is in every verse of Sunday school lesson. In this mountain. In this, in the in. If we get in God, if I'm in God, you can't get to me unless you get to God. And when you get to God, you're defeated. In. Two little letters. I can't spell a whole lot of words, but I can spell three. I, A, and N. I can spell those three. I, A, and N. I can spell them. If we get in God, we can overcome anything. Because we don't have to. Because we are in God. And when we are in God, he will take it all. I'm through. But let me. I'm going, when I get prepared, I won't be prepared. Got a question. Can anybody see that water that I just drunk out of this container? You can't see it, can you? Because it's on the inside. It's in me. When I get in God, you look for me. You don't see me. You see God in me. Okay. Let me tell you my story. There was a young lady named Linda. She was driving up around the Canadian border. She had, according to the story, she drove an old beat-up Hyundai Civic Honda. And it was in the wintertime. She was going up in the mountains where it was snowing, driving a Honda, a Civic. And she was by herself driving. She stopped for the night at a motel side the mountain. Went in, got a room, told the clerk, call me at 5 o'clock in the morning. And she said, the clerk looked at her real funny, said, 5 o'clock in the morning? Said, yes. She said, I'm leaving and I'm going up to in the mountains in the morning. Said, it's 5 o'clock. So he called her at 5 o'clock. It was a small place. They had breakfast, and she got up the next morning. He called, and she got up and went down for breakfast. And there was two truckers sitting there. It was a small place, and they said, ma'am, if you're by yourself, you can sit with us. And she obliged because she wanted to talk to somebody. So she went there, and she sat down with them and started talking. They said, where are you going? She told us, we're going up. She said, I'm going up the mountains here. He said, what are you driving? She said, a Civic Honda. He said, no, you're not. She said, it won't ever make it. She said, well, I'm going. So as soon as I finish breakfast, I'm going. One of the driver told us, well, we're going that same way. So what we'll do, we'll hug you. She looked at him and said, "You're not going to hug me, so because you're not going to touch me." He said, "No, ma'am." Said, "What I mean," said, "we're going to hug you. So one of us going to get in front of you, and the other one's going to get behind you, and you drive, you stay between us." She got on the road. She started driving, and they hugged her all the way to where she was going. She said, "I constantly looked at two red lights in front of me, and I knew two was behind me." See, sometime you got to be hugged by somebody that you might not think that you want to hug you. All you got to do is just let God, and he'll hug you. But you got to want him to hug you. If you don't want him to hug you and you won't allow him to hug you, then he will not hug you. But you have to allow him to. When you are deeply depressed, let God hug you. And when God hugs you, things will go well. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what your problem may be. If you turn it over to Christ, I promise you that he will handle it and you will not be worse because of it. But you have to trust in him and allow him to take care of your situation. You have to trust him. When you trust him, he will do what he says. But if you don't trust him enough to give him your problem, he can't help.
I heard a voice.
Will you come to Christ today?
I saw no one.
Will you come?
The voice I heard.
Will you come to Christ? No matter how deeply depressed you may think you are,
I knew it was
no matter how up to date you may think you are, depression will come your way. But you have, if you have Christ on your side, it's a done deal. Will you come?
That is when.
Will you come to Christ today?
I made my choice.
Will you come?
Talking
will
about
you come?
Jesus.
Will you come?
All that man.
God bless you.
All from Galilee on. Oh, one day I was walking along. I heard a voice. I saw no one. The voice I heard, it sounds so sweet. I knew it was Jesus talking to me. Oh, soon I recognized his voice. That is when I made my choice. Talking about Jesus, all that man, all from Galilee, y'all. Well, this man could speak. Turn water to wine. This man can speak and give sight to the blind. Said, I never knew a man like this before. This man could open anybody's door. Do you know him? Said, I wonder, do you know him? Well, he's good. I said, I wonder, do you know him? Or won't he fix? Or when you need fixing? Do you know him? Said, I wonder, do you know him? Talking about Jesus, all that man, all from Galilee, all.